you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Schmo Zone podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Egg Weights, the only hand weights in the world that conform to your body's natural movements. Love these things. Have the custom Schmo ones here in Abu Dhabi. Great for working out, any type of training. Today's guest uses Egg Weights. Love them. They're great. Use the promo code SCHMO10 to get 10% off when you visit eggweights.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by OriginMain.com. Love using their products, the Jocko products. Got their Go, got their Jocko Mulk right here. Staying fit on the road. Got their krill oil, their vitamin D3. Staying healthy, doing some active stuff here in Abu Dhabi. Check them out. Use the promo code SCHMO to get 15% off at checkout. OriginMain.com. Let's start the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Schmo Zone. This is episode number 50. We are halfway to the century mark. I'm Dave Schmolensen, a.k.a. The Schmo. She's already grabbing the mic because we're sharing it. She's
Helen Yee with Helen Yee Sports. And not only is it episode number 50 and it's halfway to that century mark, but we are actually halfway across the world back in Fight Island.
It is Fight Island. It's around 6 a.m. here. I don't know if it's Tuesday or Wednesday. We're doing our best to put one of these podcasts out every Tuesday. We got a special guest in store for you, by the way, today from the other side of the world. But we are here on Fight Island. Cat's out of the bag if you don't already follow the journey already.
Yes, we're very excited to be back. I know we have a lot of big things planned. Don't want to reveal it yet, but make sure you stay tuned to both of our channels.
Yes, and by the way, it is super weird to be doing this podcast with the Schmo mic flag. We need a Schmo Zone mic flag, and we need two microphones, too. If we're going to be doing these on the road from Fight Island and stuff like that, we got to be doing it like this.
But that's the beauty of it being only episode 50, right? Feels like we've done so many more, but the beauty of it is one day when we're on episode 1793, we're gonna look back and be like, remember episode number 50 where we only had that one microphone and then it had your logo on it and we had to share it, you know?
We got the shirts down pat though, the Schmo Zone shirts. If you haven't purchased them already, they're available at theschmozone.com. Get your merch.
Yes.
And get your t-shirt, yeah?
Yeah, t-shirts, face masks, face shields, because, you know, it's 2021.
2021, here we are. So look, three amazing fight cards. The UFC's debut on ABC. That's kicking things off with Calvin Kattar, Max Holloway. Then after that, very exciting matchup between Neil Magny, Michael Chiesa for that Wednesday night fight card. And then the big cojones. Between
the rematch
between McGregor and Poirier, we are stoked. And fans will be there in attendance for these fights.
I know. I'm super excited. And this will be our first time checking out the Etihad Arena.
Yes, we're going to get a tour of that tomorrow. Today, we have a loaded day. We'll be doing a bunch of interviews for this Holloway card. But let's get into Holloway and Kattar card. Can't just say one name. Let's get into the guest today. That's why y'all clicking on this thing. He's the one and only former UFC Bantamweight champion, Cody No Love Garbrandt. He's going to be joining us from California momentarily. Excited to talk to him.
I know, super stoked. Always great to catch up with Cody, so I'm excited just to see how his training's going and, of course, right, when his return back to the octagon will be.
I know he wants to fight Aldo, but we got to hear it from the man himself. Let's catch up with him. There's so many good things to talk about. exciting times to be a UFC bantamweight or a UFC flyweight. Let's see which one he prefers to fight for the title for, and there's a lot to talk to him about, so let's bring him on.
And I think he's calling in right now. Let's get Cody on the line.
Today's special guest in the Schmo Zone is the one and only number three ranked UFC bantamweight in the world, Cody No Love Garbrandt. Thanks for joining us today, Cody.
Thank you guys for having me.
Appreciate it, man. You're joining us from the other side of the world. It's 6:40 a.m. our time, 6:40 p.m. Pacific time, your time.
What a difference. You guys look ready to take on the day, though, I tell you that much.
Yeah. How was your day, though, most importantly?
Hey, it was great. I had an early morning training session. It was a great practice. I was able to lift right after, and then I was able to come home and take my son to the park for a little bit, and then just now I'm just refueling. So it's like trying to eat all these meals to, you know, refuel for tomorrow. Tomorrow's a big sparring day. And actually last week was the first time that I sparred since July, since having the COVID. And I felt great. So I'm just taking this momentum and keep going. You know, my body's doing well with the stress added to the mixed martial arts. My conditioning is great from the cycling, the strength and the conditioning. You know, now it's getting the fast twitch muscles firing and the footwork and all that stuff, and the skill work that comes in mixed martial arts. So very, very thankful that I'm, you know, healthy and back to the grind like I wanted to be.
I was going to say, I see all your posts about cycling. That is such amazing conditioning. How many miles do you go, and how's all that training going? Have you worked yourself up to doing some competitions, maybe some triathlons, half Ironmans?
Yeah, you know, I think that that's something in the future, you know, to do that keeps the competitive nature going, maybe in between fights. You know, the Diaz, they do it a lot with some of their teammates as well. So yeah, definitely that's something that I look for in the future. I love biking. I love the, it's tough, you know, it's hard. A lot of times we're doing 50 miles after, like, we'll do an MMA practice, and the MMA practice you're just drained after. So we jump on the bike and we'll go 50 miles and try to smash as fast as we can up and then come back. So usually about 50 miles. Right now I actually just got done riding with Corey Williams, and he's the number one crit racer in the U.S. Him and his brother, the Williams brother, you guys have to check him out. And we just went down in Santa Monica and did a nice big ride, like a lot of climbing. And he was just kind of just picking his brain on, you know, because crit race is a lot of sprint work towards the end, if you know what crit racing is. But for me, it's great because it helps me keep my endurance as low impact, especially cutting all the calories. I was going to go to 25. Now, you know, with the rematch with Figgy and Moreno, I'm going to stay at 35, campaigning for this Jose Aldo fight in April. So I'm going to stay at 35. So I'm switching my cycling training up a little bit to where it's more a lot of sprint work that builds the muscles and endurance. Now that I have my aerobic system as high as it's been ever in my entire life. I just did the VO2 testing it's really high. So being able to usually I have one thing, you're either aerobic, which a lot of, you know, conditioning or faster. A lot of that, you don't live in the same world like that. So if I'm able to translate the gas tank, which I've never had a problem with cardio, was also the fast twitch muscle and the speed and the power, and have them kind of correlate together. I mean, I'm excited to see it translate over to MMA. I can see it in training already. Now I'm excited to see it in the fight. That's why I want Jose Aldo in a 5-round fight. I feel like my conditioning is far more superior, that my speed and power can translate from the first to the 5th round. That's a fight that I'm campaigning for, and I'm on the Schmo Show to hopefully get everyone on board.
Jose Aldo, legend in the sport. I mean, that's a great fight to happen. But what happens if, obviously, there's the flyweight fights. We wanted to see Davidson Figueiredo. You wanted to come down to have that fight with him. Does Jose Aldo get precedent over getting an opportunity to fight for a flyweight belt? Let's say the Moreno fight, the rematch falls out.
I would say whatever contract signed first, you know, if they were one of the, you know, fighters of Moreno or Figgy were hurt, or something happened and they wanted to be like, hey, you know, cause I got the shot. I got it with the Perez, COVID happened, you know, like, all right, then obviously the rematch they're doing the rematch. So I'm like, I'm not going to sit and wait for this title shot for 8 months, possibly. I'm going to stay sharp. Like, I want to be in the octagon, you know? And I think that the best outcome for me is having Jose Aldo, because it's a risk, you know. The reward's great. You know, I have a legend in my cap. I stay, you know, at the tops of the bantamweight division. I go down and fight for the title after they fight, maybe August, September. This is my perfect scenario, planning out. Obviously, last year, my vision didn't come correct, but, you know, it's everything happens for a reason. But Aldo in April, and then whoever wins out of Figgy and Moreno and August, September, and then we'll see who wins Sterling and Jan, and we can do a December scrap in the year, big fight card. So I like to have three fights, and then you got TJ in the mix too. He's got to prove to himself that he can keep a needle out of his ass, and that he can fight clean, and he can win these fights, and he can rise back up through the rankings, because you did probably one of the worst things you can do in sports, inside of sports, you know. And you only got a 2-year suspension for it. So you have to come in and do a lot of proving that you can fight clean, that you can win being a clean athlete, which I don't think that he will be the same fighter. I just know that without the aid of EPO. So you don't get to come in and call the shots. You don't get to call and say, this is your title, because you disrespected the sport in that kind of manner. So, but that's a fight down the road. You know, I'm, you know, everyone talks about a 10-year plan. I'm talking about, you know, the next 4 or 5 fights, you know, and that's why, you know, in a perfect world, that would happen. So, yeah, you got him back in the mix. Hopefully he can, you know, stay clean and respect the game and make his way back to the top. But he's got to prove himself first. But that's why I want Aldo, because I'm not going to sit 8 months and wait for the rematch, or whoever wins the rematch, and let them heal and fight. Being an active fighter, that's what kills someone's career. And I've had enough in activity from COVID and, you know, injuries that I've had. But this last year was just, you know, COVID stole world title from me. And, you know, I sit there and say that as a selfish manner, because there's a lot of people that have lost lives and people that they loved over it, you know. So it's just been a trying time for a lot of people in the world during this pandemic. But just, you know, I'm thankful that I'm here. I'm speaking to you guys, and hopefully, you know, campaigning for this Aldo fight. I think that's the best fight, theoretically, that can happen with me not having to sit 8 months to get a title shot. I want to fight, and I think that's a great name for me to go out there, stay sharp, get in camp. And, you know, he's a dangerous guy. You know, he's a dangerous guy. He doesn't get to where he was at without being dangerous. And he had his first win at 35, which he beat Marlon, but they gave it to him. So yeah, I mean, he's right there. He shows that he was game in his last fight, and I think it's a fight for me that keeps me sharp, keeps me hungry, keeps me motivated to get off the couch and train. And then we fight Figgy down the road.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Whoever wins out of that fight between him and Moreno.
I think that'd be a great, like, plan. What do you think, right?
That's a fantastic
plan. That's you guys' opinions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah, so we're definitely on board with that. But you also just mentioned, you know, TJ and him needing to prove himself with his return. And there's a lot of talks, like, who would he be fighting for his return? Who do you think makes sense for him?
Ooh. Who makes sense for TJ?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For his return back.
I think TJ just got to be honest with himself. If TJ comes out and apologizes and takes, you know, blame for what he did, then that's a step in the right direction. He still hasn't fully came and said that he the EPO is all some kind of bullshit about him cutting weight. Like, you don't just do, you just don't stumble upon EPO first time in your career when you're cutting down the 125. There's anybody that knows EPO, how dangerous it is to take. And the reason why he got popped, because he had it down to a system, down to a T at 135 pounds. Now you go and you're doing different supplements, you're doing different training, you're cutting 25. You might not know what it takes to get out of your system because you're cutting an extra 10 pounds. And that's how he got busted, because he didn't have it mathematically or scientifically, whoever his doctors or team that is, you know, administering his EPO usage or himself, because, you know, TJ is a pretty smart individual, you know, and that's where he messed up. So he's just not, I think the first fight with TJ is just be admitting to himself, to the UFC, to everybody that, you know, he's been on and he's been doing it. And then, you know, you'll get my fair shake. Then you got to go out and compete clean, win some fights. But it's honestly TJ's first fight is with himself. And that's why he just needs to be honest with himself, honest with everybody.
And we've had Jeff Nowitzki from the UFC on our podcast. They don't test for EPO as regularly as other substances. It's not all the time. So I find that pretty interesting in this whole scenario too. That's something that just doesn't come up in every single test that you guys get.
Yeah, that's why I don't really fuck with USADA, man. You know, I wasn't ever against fighting TJ, but I knew what he was on. And you go back and look at tweets and things I said in conferences, like, hey, I'm not against fighting TJ, but I don't care if we got to pay for it. Let's do a third-party drug test. But it kind of went silent. No one really kind of, you know, took my word for it until, you know, it popped up. And then next time I have Jeff, I didn't have Jeff's number. He's texting me like, sorry, we didn't catch him sooner, this and that. It is what it is, man. Like, I'm not going to cry over spilled milk, but you just don't stumble upon EPO in your career like that. At a title fight, he just didn't have his body mathematically, scientifically mapped out to get it out of the system time of it took to fight. And, you know, but he had it at 35, he had it down, you know what I mean? Like, he could be there this whole time, but you throw something off, you know. You don't put something into an ingredient that, you know, the cake's not going to be the same at the end, you know. One little thing can throw it off, and that's what happened there. But I'm no doctor.
You're the former bantamweight champion of the world, coming off one of the best knockouts in 2020 against Rafael Assunção. That's the last time we saw you in the octagon. Do you think you're going to be holding the gold strap in the bantamweight division or the flyweight division first?
Well, let's see here. I think the flyweight, because obviously Peter and Aljamain are fighting. That was announced. They're fighting January or February.
March.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So yeah, we'll see. It's tough. You know, it's tough to see how that fight ends up.
And going. Who do you think wins that fight?
Yeah.
Sorry, loaded here.
Let's see here. I think Jan. Jan, definitely. He'll shut down Aljamain's grappling, you know. He'll keep it tough. He's a durable guy. He's got, you know, better stand up than Aljamain. Aljamain's guys, you can't keep a pressure fighter off you the way that Aljamain throws kicks. When you got a pressure fighter in front of you, they're gonna find a way in there. And I think that it'll be a, you know, the first two rounds would be pretty competitive. I think once, you know, Peter starts, you know, getting his timing, his boxing timing, then it'll be, you know, off to the races, I feel. That is, if he can, you know, we'll see how good his wrestling is. You know, I think that Faber had a lot of success in his fight until he got tired. You know, he's 40-some years old, you know, had a kind of a long layoff before fighting Peter. That he, I think Peter was kind of wary of his submissions in wrestling. That's why you didn't see him really open up too much. And Uriah was, you know, kept the pressure, you know, didn't get locked up into it. So I don't know, man. I'm kind of curious to see, but I think Peter will pull that one off. I think so. I mean, he looked good against Aldo. So I'm going to go with Peter Jan in that fight. But Sterling's looked good. You know, he's looked good. He's risen to the occasion. Against Sandhagen, but I think Sandhagen just kind of went out there and wasn't ready for the that kind of fight. I don't know. I feel like he just didn't perform. You know, I feel like, you know, Aljamain capitalized on a mistake or a weakness that Sandhagen had that no one really saw. And just wasn't ready for that kind of, oh shit, I might be fighting for the title if I win this fight. Who knows? You know, it's different when everyone's a Monday morning quarterback, you know, when they see fights and stuff. But I think that's what it was. Just wasn't ready for that kind of spotlight and kind of shit down his leg a little bit. And then he comes out and has a great performance against Marlon. But I think Marlon's been on decline as well since he's left Jersey and has been on a top team. I just don't think that you can kind of go with that kind of thing. But yeah, it's good. You know, the division's great. Both divisions are great. I think a lot of, you know, Figgy's obviously at the top of his because he's honestly a 35 pounder fighting at 25. You know, I think that he's been out here at our camp a few times for our jiu-jitsu coach has been in his corner. That's a big dude. You know what I mean? He's a big 25 pounder. You know what I mean? I'm sure that he weighs more than me outside of camp. You know, so that's why he has trouble making the weight. So yeah, I think he's just, you know, he's one of those guys getting there and are like, oh, he's got that forward pressure and he keeps coming and keeps coming. But he got tagged up a lot by Moreno. And to me, it doesn't look like Moreno can bust a grape. You know, they're going to fight again. And I don't think without the nut shot legal, you know, the legal low blow that had been as close to a fight. But Moreno's game, dude, he was landing some good stuff, but nothing to hurt Figgy. You know, I feel like when I crack those guys, it's a different ball game. If Davidson lets me hit him a third of what Moreno hit him, he's going to be in a lot of trouble. But my sights are set on Jose Aldo, and that's what I'm getting ready for. I'm preparing for mentally, physically, emotionally. I'm watching a lot of his fights and just, you know, the rivalry he had with Team Alpha Male. It's great, you know. Count on me to go in there and get the job done. When my mindset's, you know, where it's at and where I'm at physically, emotionally, inside of my career. I feel like the last few years I just leveled up and, you know, I went through a lot to get here. And, you know, I don't take it for granted anymore.
Dialed in like Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns in their playoff push.
Dangerous. Yes. How's that? How's that sound?
Wow, man. Shocked a lot of people. Like the Steelers themselves. I don't think Juju Smith-Schuster has gone over it quite yet.
No, I saw him after the game. You kind of got to respect like Big Ben kind of just like, you know, feel for him because it's like, damn, he's a competitor, but it's like, damn, that felt good. You know what I mean? I wanted to be so out in there showing, I want to show the Browns celebrate, not been upset. You know what I mean? That's, I mean, it's hard to see, but dude, it's been a rough being a Browns fan, but I'm a diehard. I'm loyal to him.
I'm a Bears fan. It's not much better.
No, it's not. But hey, dude, I'm yeah, it's great, man. They have. I was speaking with Steve from TMZ right before here. I just feel like Baker is just one of those dudes that you want to have into your foxhole. You know what I mean? Like I was telling the instance, the play that I saw, it was 28-0. It was like 3rd and 2. Baker goes for a play action pass, runs it to the first down, 3 defenders. He stretches himself out to get it, and he's up 28-0. You know what I mean? Like you could shovel past, you did anything. He wants to win. I think that having a leader in himself and the guys, it just mentality is different. You know, they're keep doubting us, and we're gonna just, you know, prove each time that we're better. And I'm excited. I'm excited for this week. You know, we got the Kansas City Chiefs, arguably one of the best football teams in the league. But I'm liking the Browns' chances, man.
If they beat the Chiefs, they're winning the Super Bowl. That's it. If they beat the Chiefs, they beat Patrick Mahomes and win the Super Bowl.
I'm there. They get to the Super Bowl, I'm there. I'm going.
How would you celebrate their Super Bowl win?
I'm like, streak the field. I don't know. Something soccer shit. I don't know. Who knows, man? It's been a tough. If you guys don't understand, I live an hour from Cleveland. Where I'm from, an hour from Cleveland, an hour from Pittsburgh. So a lot of my family members are Steelers fans. A lot of them. It's me, my brother, my grandpa, Louie, that are Browns fans. Me and my grandma is Brown fans, just because, you know, husband, wife. But it's tough every year, man. It's been tough. I had to wear a Pittsburgh Steelers hat majority of my life during football season. And This one's enjoyable. That my stepfather has to wear a Browns hat for a week. So
what's funny is I'm a diehard Bears fan, and my high school, where I grew up, 25 miles out of Chicago, our colors were green and gold, and I hated the Packers. But every time we play sports or anything, I'd dress in green and gold, and I'm just diehard blue and orange. So that's what tough. I had to deal with.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Like our high school was orange, brown, and white, like the Cleveland Browns. I always look good in orange and brown, you know, white. But you know, the Steelers, I don't know, the black and yellow, not the black and yellow gang. It's good times.
Yeah. So we're here, Abu Dhabi. We really appreciate you coming on our podcast. How are those egg weights going, by the way? Are you still shadow boxing using those? You got some of the fastest hands.
Yeah, I do. I like them. My brother actually, he uses them probably more than me. But yeah, I shadow box a lot. So those are a great tool, man. Honestly, like, I just brought that up in practice today because we're talking about, we're doing a lot of switch stance stuff. And a lot of the guys, you know, it's hard to do regularly with good footwork, but you're switching stances. You have to, you know, all your weight has to be evenly distributed. And like, yeah, number one thing that you guys don't do enough is shadow box, jump rope, and footwork drills. That's how you get to be elusive inside there, and you can switch. And this game's evolving. You see fighters from all over being able to switch from ortho to southpaw and back and forth, and keep that. All right, I might go to overhand right, going to southpaw, and they're still flowing those combos and kicks, and just the game's evolving. You have to keep evolving. So those egg weights are a good tool to develop hand speed, and like I said, the underutilized tool is shadow boxing.
And I've also seen your son go with you to the gym, right?
Yeah, he's a little bruiser, man. He likes to go to the gym. He likes to have fun. He's funny, man. He's in this period of his life where he thinks he's Spider-Man. So he just everything is just Spider-Man to him. He wants me to hold him. He acts like we have to climb walls. We'll be at the grocery store. He wants me to climb. So climb the wall. Got to hold him up, and he's acting like he's climbing up the wall. People are just like, what? I'm like, he thinks he's Spider-Man. He wants to be Spider-Man. Let the kid be Spider-Man. And right by the sub, he goes to the gym with us, and I'm like rapping a song. We're going live, and it was in between. We were switching position, like north side, we're going you know, turtle position, we're going through all these kind of like bad positions to be in and going live and fighting out of it. And Kai came out on the mat running, was like shooting song, like he was shooting with webs, and it was hilarious. I remember, like, Chris had to pick him up, take him to the outside of the gym. He's like, I was shooting him, dad. I was like, yeah. So he's got my back, he loves it. And just being able to show him those kind of you know, at a young age, like hard work, like, you know, he's like, dad, are you working hard? You know, I'm like, oh yeah, it makes me hard, push harder, you know? So just getting that, you know, developed into an early age. I mean, that's what my uncle did with us. He took us to the gym. He snuck us to the gym. And when he would box, I remember, you know, being in an old school garage and watching him, you know, hit the pads with his trainer, Chris Furry, and, you know, taking him to the YMCA and watching him run and do all his training. He took us right there. And, you know, a lot of times we ran with him on the treadmill when we were younger, or we swam laps with him. And those memories that I have that I would like to have. Not saying I want Kai to be a fighter, but I want him to show him, you know, this is hard work, you know, and this is, you know, this is what you have to do to be able to get those toys and appreciate the value of a dollar and understand, you know, that I have to go to work and be away from you, but you get to go to, you know, do a lot of things that you're able to do that some kids aren't fortunate enough to do, you know. So I'm just trying to, you know, do the best that I can and being a father and, you know, having my career, but, you know, balancing the life. And with having a son, I feel more driven than ever. I think it took a little transition period for me to, you know, get out of that funk that I was in. You know, it's not coming home, you know, you know, without winning the fights, it's tough. You know what I mean? It's tough. You know, it's definitely, it's the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, but, you know, you got to find that balance in life. And I got, you know, a kid that looks up to me and wants me to, you know, do the best that I can. So I gotta, you know, show them a lot of stuff that's inside of the gym. And I enjoy bringing them. It's fun. It's enjoyable.
Well, we appreciate you coming on our podcast. You're a great father, great role model. A lot of people look up to you. Next time you're in Vegas, we're going to have you in studio. We got to get you a shirt.
Yes.
And make it happen. We're going to make it happen. Yeah. And then just the last question, because we're here on Fight Island, who wins, McGregor or Poirier?
Gosh, yeah, it's been the last question. It's kind of like we're done with the hard ones. Dude, it is such a different fight from when they fought the first time. I think both of them, Dustin has games they come. They don't breed Dustin Poirier's like anymore. Like that guy is like, dude, I'm down to be covered in blood, to be, you know, beat up, to be, you know, so tired you're gasping for air, but keep coming. You know, I think McGregor's at a different point in his life too, that he has to win this fight. He wants to get back to the top. He understands what's at stake. Yeah, he knocked him out however long ago. But from what I see from Connor is a lot different from what I've seen him in the past. I feel like a lot in the past, you know, you get pulled in different ways when you're that big. When you're Conor McGregor, you're getting pulled this way, this way, and this way. And I think now that he's just really settled in and is back to that, not that he never worked hard or stopped working hard, that focus. And I feel I can speak on myself. I lost focus due to a lot of reasons. But focus, his focus is there. And Dustin's focus is always there. And he has a chance to redeem himself, get revenge, you know, to put himself back into the title contention that he once had, you know. And Connor has everything right, you know. Another loss sets him back, and, you know, the naysayers. And for Connor, I don't believe he falls into that, you know, kind of the critics and stuff. But for him, you know, he looks like it's a different Connor from what he's been posting on social media and seeing. You see him in the gym, you see his family in the gym with him. I think he's at a different place in his life too. So I really think it's going to be an awesome fight. I truly believe that both of these guys are going to have the warrior spirit inside of there to make it, if it has to be a five round, knock them out, you know, drag out fight, they will. I just can't, I honestly couldn't even give you an honest answer who is to win, because they're just such different fighters. I don't know. I'm just honestly, I think that's going to be a great fight. I don't know. I mean, Connor's got power in his hands, and Dustin looks good at 55. He's been, you know, battle tested his last few fights, and his game is to come. And I think Connor's going to show up too. I just hope that it's a great fight.
I guess we should not have ended on that question. We didn't even get a prediction out of you.
Wait, okay. Well, who's your guys' prediction? Are you guys already biased? Or you guys can't say?
You give me a prediction, I'll give you a prediction. How about that?
Right.
I'll give you a prediction.
Okay. See, it's hard. I can't even give an honest prediction. I'm trying to get like, think math, you know, MMA math. I think if Connor beats him, it'll beat him early on. I think it's later in the rounds. I just don't know why I think that Poirier will pull it off.
Okay. No, I agree. The longer it goes, I think the better chance for Poirier. I just think there's something with mental psyche, mental warfare. I hate making predictions until I interview them. So it could change after I interview them. But right now I lean towards McGregor because of the mental warfare and because of the history. You can't ignore that. And they both improved. If you ask me who's improved since they both fought, I'd give a little bit of the edge towards Poirier. And who's improved more as a fighter since they fought back then. But that might not mean anything when they come inside the cage a week and a half from now. But I might change this when I interview them. But yeah, I lean towards McGregor for those reasons.
Right now. It's all about energy, man, what they're bringing, you know. You guys can feel that when you guys interview us Fight Week. You know, it's different from, you know, I'm easy going. But Fight Week, you have a different – you can tell the guys that are gamers, man, they got a glazed look over their eyes, kind of stern, straight to the point, you know, about what's going to happen inside there and what they're prepared to do. Excited. A week and a half away, man. Awesome. Can't wait. Great card. You got Holloway and Cater this week. That's a great fight.
That's a great fight.
Dude, those dudes, too. Cater's boxing, he's got a nice hand. He sets it up. He works. He fights out of his feet. Like, you know, he's over there in Boston. He's got some great boxing. And so does Holloway. Holloway is tough as they come. I don't know. I don't know. That's a tough one too. I think Cater maybe can mixes up a little bit better than Holloway. But Holloway looked good in the Volkanovski fight, man. He looked good. I thought he won that fight. I truly believe that he won that fight the second time around. So he could probably have, you know, a chip on his shoulder, like, fuck, I got to get back to this. Like, you know, it's a big win for a big fight for him. And it's a big fight for Cater. If he wins, it puts him right there. So, I mean, that's two back-to-back weekends. UFC is doing great things, man, this year. Early, early presence for us.
I feel like we could talk for hours. Next time we do this,
I know. Let you guys go. Many guys eat this for breakfast. All right.
Yeah, no, we appreciate you, man. Best of luck. Let's push for that Aldo fight, and we'll see you soon in person.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Stay safe.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Such a great interview with Cody. I can't wait to have him in studio in Las Vegas and we run this thing back. I feel like it can go for 1, 2, maybe 3 hours. Who knows?
I know. He's always great to chat with, always great to catch up with. And I'd be down to see him fight Jose Aldo.
Excellent fight. Legend and champion going at it again. Man, we got some big things lined up here. Still have a couple weeks here. On Fight Island, week and a half or so, 3 huge fights. We're stoked.
I know. I can't wait to get all our interviews done. And like I said, not going to reveal everything in terms of what we have planned here on Fight Island. But make sure you guys stay tuned. And if you haven't already subscribed to your channel.
Or Helen Yee's channel.
Thank you. Helen Yee Sports. Because I know everybody loves it when I say sports at the end.
I mean, it's just 1-2 punch that you cannot forget. Ye Sports.
Yeah, well, ye, it's just, you know, when people ask me, how do you spell your name? I'm like, Y-E-E. They're like, that's it? You know, so got to add a little twist to the end.
Yes. All right, we got a huge day ahead. We got some interviews lined up. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening and watching. Or watching, doesn't matter, and or maybe both, episode 50 of the Schmo Zone podcast.
We are
out.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.